Alleluia, alleluia. I am the first and the last, says the Lord, and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore.
Alleluia.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. A dispute also arose among the disciples as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors, but not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you, just as my Father has conferred on me, a kingdom, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, O Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I guess all of us at some time in our lives have experienced a great sadness when something completely inappropriate has been said or done on a particular occasion. Particularly sad if you were the source of that completely inappropriate thing, but I'm struggling to recall such a thing in my own life. But nonetheless, when something happens so untoward and we feel for perhaps those people involved in that situation and for anyone who's been affected by what has happened. Tonight's gospel reading is for me one of those occasions when I find it incredibly sad and yet so hopeful too. When hearing this gospel, our minds perhaps migrate to the dispute amongst the disciples, but the second half is far more positive, which provides a strong contrast. It does make me wonder what on earth was going on at this meal, actually, because this morning we heard an extract from John's gospel about we should love one another as Jesus has loved us, that he laid down his life for us. So there must have been a lot of things said, and each gospel writer has picked out the important things to them. And Luke, I think this is particularly sad because Luke has already mentioned earlier in his gospel, you'll perhaps remember that time when the disciples were arguing about who was the greatest, and Jesus takes a little child, stands the child in front of them, says, "If you don't become like this child, how on earth can you enter the kingdom of heaven? You must be humble like this child." The timing too is quite extraordinary. Here we are, the end of 3 years ministry, Jesus' final meal with his friends. No doubt he had so many things to say to them and you know the importance of that occasion before he went to the cross. And the disciples are wanting to jockey for position. They are seeking glory. And I think Luke, and this passage is unique to Luke's gospel, by the way, Luke is keen to show the disciples' complete lack of awareness for how Jesus must have been feeling in that time, knowing what was going to happen to him. And all they can seem interested about is who's going to have the best seats. I would assume that the disciples, or rather the apostles, this was his inner circle, remember, they were already starting to think about the future if the master was going to leave them. Conversations of succession planning all in front of Jesus. It all seems a bit distasteful to me that they should talk like this. Perhaps all the talk in the preceding weeks over how things will go has meant that the responsibility that will be given to them has really gone to their heads. They've been overtaken by human desire for power and prestige. Jesus, as ever, remained calm and reminded them of what it means to be a leader in God's kingdom. They must learn yet again that there has to be a sacrificial mentality in serving Christ. Here again, Jesus links himself to the child that he used earlier in the gospel to demonstrate his own lowliness and to remind them that the greatest must become like the youngest. So Jesus' instructions concerning leadership were grounded in the reality of what Jesus, or who Jesus, is. The one whom Paul wrote about in Philippians, that Christ was in the form of God and did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but rather emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, completely obedient and accepting even death on a cross. Jesus is concerned here that those who will follow in his footsteps as leaders in his church must also have that same outlook of humility and sacrifice. These apostles, as I said this morning, are the human hinge on which the existence of the church depends. They would be the very first Christians who would form the early church. They're the ones who've been chosen to be the primary witnesses of his death and resurrection. And so it was crucial that they got it right. And here at this very last meal, after all this training, they're having to be put right once again. Luke's gospel is one of constant surprise and unexpected reversals of fortune. And just one example, there are many, one example is Mary, the mother of Jesus, a lowly peasant girl who in the Magnificat glimpses a glorious future with God, scattering the proud, bringing down the powerful from their thrones, and filling the hungry with good things, and the rich are sent away empty. The reversal in the gospel tonight is that the apostles, having been brought down from their ideas of a lofty perch to be called back to humble service, will in time be rewarded and acknowledged. If they can stay with Jesus, the risen Jesus, through all that is to come, the persecutions and the rejection, then their own downward movement now, accepting humility and service and sacrifice, that will be reversed in the end times, when Jesus will confer on them a kingdom. God will put right all things in the age to come. A wise choice to follow and receive Jesus and to remain faithful to him. Surely that same reward is there for us too when we put humility and service into our lives. He will be faithful to us. As I said this morning, and I repeat again, quoting a letter that I'd received, we live in testing times, but Christ is always faithful and has not finished his work among us. Christ is always faithful and has not finished his work among us. Amen.